Okay, this is Pure Decking, show number 9. We're 15 minutes late because for some fucking reason, Windows 7 audio, most likely. The recorder box was all kinds of fucked up. I'm probably going to end up having to, I don't know, I got to figure this out. But with me tonight, we have Heavy, Suave, and BSV, and there really is only one topic tonight, isn't there, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Portal 2.
Indeed.
I'm going to blame GLaDOS for your problems.
Yeah, that's nice and easy. Yeah. I tell you what, man, it's pissing me off, because my microphone is literally not consistent on the recording. I don't know what the hell's going on. So it would be, I would think it would have something wrong with the wiring if I was moving the mic around, but I'm literally not. I'm like not touching it. And it's like somebody's playing with the knob. It's the weirdest damn thing.
Yeah, that's no good.
No, it's not. It's annoying.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, well, don't worry about it for now. You're just freaking out over it, and it's not going to get fixed. Just give it a couple of days, and it'll almost fix itself, I bet. Well, yeah. You know, not fix itself, but, you know, you'll possibly get...
You won't be so mad and...
Well, the sad part is I know what the solution is. It's called buy a new fucking microphone, and I don't want to spend $100 on a fucking microphone.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I don't think it's your mic either, because it's not really coming through on Skype here.
Maybe I need to do something different with this recording box. Maybe the sound card's fucked.
Who knows?
So.
Oh, well.
I don't know. You guys are consistent, though. I don't know why I'm not. It's like... I don't
again,
get it.
GLaDOS.
Yep.
Yes.
Anyways, so
but, on to Portal here. I just wanted to touch on the alternate reality game that kind of led up to the release of Portal.
Yes, that's actually that's what I wanted you guys to go on about, because I wasn't able to follow it that much. I was really interested in it, though.
Well, I didn't follow it so much until later, because I kind of had an idea of what it was and I didn't really want to get too involved or anything, but I kind of got the gist of it. It all started back in April 1st when they released the Potato Game Pack on Steam that had a bunch of independent games on it. And people started finding some clues and stuff like that to... a big mystery that they didn't really know exactly what it was. And after, finding some random email addresses that they were getting responses from and Steam accounts and stuff like that, they found out that it was all about the release of Portal 2. And then some people showed up on there that Valve actually, pretty much hired. They're just like people who are pretty prominent in the gaming community. And they kind of became infected. And they actually got Portal early. And they were playing Portal, and they were also kind of giving some responses in regards to this game. And they ended up solving the mystery, and they found the GLaDOS at home page, which was basically where...
Wait, GLaDOS at home. Is this like a spoof on the folding at home?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Although, it's going to turn out to be a big pile of junk, but anyways, the whole premise was supposed to be the more people who played these potato sack games that they got in this deal, and the more so-called potato achievements, like special achievements on these games, the faster Portal would unlock. So, this just totally blew up out of proportion. Everybody got so super excited about it, and everybody went out and bought these games and have been playing the hell out of these games and getting all kinds of achievements and stuff. But the speed of the release date wasn't really increasing at a consistent rate. And after a little while, it became apparent that they were pretty much just planning on releasing on midnight on the 18th, and regardless.
They were just adjusting the stats on the webpage to show the reality they wanted, huh?
Exactly. So, I think they...
The hell with the facts. We're going with what we want.
And I think they may have gotten it out, 5 minutes early or something like that for midnight. but it was pretty much nothing.
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.
But like, it generated so much hype. I'd actually like to see their sales figures for that game, because I'm sure it just skyrocketed during this ARG. So, you know, it deserves a lot of hype, to be fair. It's a really great game, but I think Valve kind of screwed up a little bit by somewhat betraying a lot of their loyal followers.
I believe the official phrase is jerking people around.
Although, to be fair, everybody who got all 36 of those potato achievements ended up getting the Valve Complete Pack for free on Steam. So pretty much every single Valve game.
Cool.
Yeah, there is some good that came out of that. And quite a few people actually got that number of achievements. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Nice.
And
well, there was more to it than just... And there's my microphone levels going all over the fucking map again. There was more to it than just the achievements in these games. They had all these... They had hidden messages. They had... bundle of games, the potato sack, they had hidden stuff in the games.
The ball game, they actually had a pretty much Portal-style level in it.
A lot of those games actually had Portal-style levels.
Yeah, but, like, I know Audio Surf, it redirected you to a Portal song when you first launch it.
Nice.
Yeah. That's kind of what the ARG was that led up to that point. It was all mostly about kind of hinting towards GLaDOS waking up and becoming aware and stuff like that.
To be rebooted and needed processing.
Well, she was torn into pieces and thrown into a fire.
Yes.
So, all right, enough of that bullshit. Anyways, so have we... I hardly got to play any Portal 2. I was working on a bunch of other stuff. I came home and I saw, okay, it's loaded, because I bought it yesterday thinking I'd get to play it today. So that way it would be downloaded. And I thought I'd just come home and play it for a bit before we do the show. Well, obviously that didn't happen. I clicked the thing and it sits there and goes, you know, unlocking content. And it took it like 45 minutes to unlock.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you bastards!
Well, imagine how everybody felt who stayed up late last night until like midnight, and it finally unlocks, and everybody's all super excited, and then it's decrypting, and it's decrypting. And then after that, a ton of people ended up running into an issue where the Steam servers were so busy that the install couldn't complete, and they couldn't play the game.
Yeah.
And like, you know, people have been so excited over this, following it for like 2 weeks. There are people just raging all across the internet.
Oh, I can imagine. What are you trying to say, BSV?
But yeah, I got that. Well, actually, mine decrypted before Suave, but he managed to get the installation complete while I kept getting busy signals.
Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm sitting here wondering if I have to actually reload the whole thing, but that wouldn't have been fun.
You know, when we were doing DC Online, I had a hell of a time getting it installed from Steam. Now, my internet connection at the time just sucked, but it would get all the way... I'd finally get Steam installed, right? Or it'd install through Steam, and then it'd do the patch. And then when Steam ran, it was like Steam was undoing the patch, and it would hang at like 80%. And... The way I ended up getting it to let me play is I got a copy of the game from Analog and dropped it in place, and it finally went.
Okay.
So Steam has had Steam has had problems in the past. They really have.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, like they should have been expecting a record flood of connections, and I don't think they were quite ready for the number of people trying to.
Well,
get
I also
that installed at the same time.
I also wonder how many of them were it wasn't Steam's fault. It was like the upstream routers and the upstream providers, because you got to think the internet's not just you and then the other server.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we all know AT&T and Comcast and them, they're putting in bandwidth caps so they don't have to upgrade their equipment.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that wouldn't really surprise me that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say it's more of a stopgap measure until they can actually, you know, justify the slow rollout of upgrades.
Yeah. And then charge you more for it because it's better.
Well, I actually did some reading on the subject, right? And, you know, just really dug into it because I was wanting to make sure we could have a really good argument about this. And it turns out the two main copper pipes going to most people's houses, that would be your phone line and your cable, like 80-something percent of the lines were actually – they weren't just – I mean, a lot of them were federally subsidized, but they weren't just federally subsidized. They were guaranteed monopolies.
Yep.
By federal and local governments for a long time,
AT&T, we got, or I should say, in mid-90s, AT&T got a state subsidy in Michigan so that they could come through and roll out high-speed internet, which they never met the standards.
Well, you know, in some places, it makes sense.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I wasn't going to argue that, but I was just going to find. I was just going to talk about. It's kind of the point that these bandwidth caps. They're coming because they don't want to upgrade their equipment, but they've never actually had to pay to maintain their equipment before.
Yeah,
and, exactly. And now there is a place, you know, for subsidizing it to get them to roll it out to places because it's infrastructure, and they're not always going to do it. But I don't. It's weird because they made it impossible for competition, which is why we have the even argument of net neutrality.
Right.
Right.
So,
you know, like here in Saskatchewan. Pretty much all the internet is supplied by SaskTel, which is actually a provincially owned telecom. And, you know, it actually works out quite well. They've got some of the best equipment in Canada. They've got some of the lowest prices and the best plans. And they turned a profit, I think it was like $100 million last year or something like that. And that actually all goes back to the government, which is decreasing our taxes. So, you know, that's a pretty good setup they've got going.
Well, they say it's decreasing your taxes. What government
it's not, but that means the province has more money to spend on things. Regardless of that, like it wouldn't be possible for me to have internet where I live right now without that sort of setup because they're not going for profits or anything like that. They can actually and they're government mandated to provide access to all the communities. I'm in a town of about 200 people, that's about 150 kilometers away from the closest city. So they probably had to lay a large amount of fiber line to this community. 200 people, maybe of which 50 got internet?
No, most of that would actually have been copper, at least the stuff I was reading up in, because I was reading up on the States. It was all copper, so they also needed all these repeating stations to keep a good, strong signal.
They just put it in.
That'd be fiber.
And I was actually talking to the guys, and yeah, it is fiber optic line. So now, like you know, like 50 people in this town got served by like 100 kilometers worth of fiber optic line, which they're never going to recoup those costs. Like not in a million years. But
nowadays they would just shoot a WiMAX beam or a wireless signal out to the town in order to give you guys internet.
That's the problem with those kind of setups is they're not as reliable as they need to be yet. A good strong storm or you know a squirrel can really fuck with the antenna, and then you get no signal until somebody figures out what's going on up there.
Right.
That's pretty much what the people were using in the past out here because they did have that set up and it was incredibly unreliable and extremely slow.
Right. I've had wireless ISP from a municipality before too, and it's awful because you get a strong wind and your connection drops and it's just like fuck. So but we're way off topic, so I didn't get to play that much. I got through right. I barely got into the game at all, right? Got into some of the early test levels. I love the look up, look down. You've now done your aerobics. It's like, geez, if only it was that easy. But So you guys have obviously gotten farther than I have.
Yeah.
No spoilers now, but...
Yeah, that's what we're going to have to be careful about. I say don't spoil anything more than what you found out on the previews, like, you know, the videos that have been coming out for a while.
So, all right, so let's go through some of the basic tools. I mean, at least we can kind of play around with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, like, me and BSV have been going through the two-player campaign, and we haven't... unlocked everything. I think we're still pretty far from it. It kind of gives you sets of levels, and each little set of levels is aimed towards a specific type of tool. So, you know, go ahead, BSV.
Well, pretty much it. So far, I think we're on the fourth section. But yeah, there's pretty much a bunch of, each one has adds a new tool or that. And it's like about 8 levels each one. Then at the very end, there's an off-course track, which...
And to be clear, this is a co-op game right now that you're talking about.
But so far we've gone through kicker plates, which are just a plate that you go walk over and it kind of launches you across the room. There's lasers that you end up having to line up with
Hard light.
Yeah. Well, hard light. The hard light is the platforms. The lasers are...
Regular lasers.
Yeah. You basically end up having to use portals and stuff to redirect them into, like, key ways to open up doors.
Cubes you can aim them with, and...
Yeah, the prism cube, I think it's called.
Yeah. Then there's the edgeless safety cube.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have certainly been enjoying the humor in the game. It's like, because these messages are pre-recorded, we cannot make accurate statements about your performance. Please disregard any undue positive or whatever it was. But it's like any undue positive, you know, reinforcement or something like that. It's just like, it's awesome. I mean.
Oh, yeah. They did a great job with that. And I think they did a great job at, like, capturing the original feel of Portal.
Well, and you know, that's something they had to be really very... That's something they had to be very, very careful about because, I mean, Portal was not, you know, they didn't think it was going to be this insanely huge success. Otherwise, you know, they just thought it was this little mini game they were including that would be kind of fun, you know, had some good black humor in it, and, you know, that would be it. You know, if you played through the original before they started expanding on it, it was obvious that, you know, they didn't intend for it to be this huge thing on its own. It was just kind of this little side story thrown into the Half-Life storyline.
No, they bundled it with Half-Life. I mean, come on.
They were just experimenting with physics. That's pretty much all they were doing.
Yeah.
It's like a 3-hour game. It really caught on. The new one, it's definitely got a lot more story to it. I won't go into that, but there's a lot more story to this one.
Back to the stuff you can play with. Yeah, mm-hmm. There was the... After the kicker and lasers, there's the hard light bridges that travel pretty much and creates a bridge that you can send through portals. And then there's the funnels, which
it's pretty much a tractor beam.
With a reverse switch on some.
Yeah.
Tractor beam with a reverse switch. There you go. I like it.
And from watching a lot of the videos they were releasing, I know that they've got this blue goop that gets sprayed onto the floor that speeds you up like tenfold.
Then so isn't there a stuff. Bounce?
There's an orange goop that's bouncy, and then there's a white goop that's portal-friendly, helps you create portals. So.
Oh, okay. I don't remember seeing that in the previews.
Heavy, how far have you gotten in the game?
To be honest, I haven't gotten that far either. I mean, it's just you know, with work and then my sister came into town. It's you know, it's just you know.
Oh, I understand. I understand 100%.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, with the co-op, you either have to have somebody that's good at the game or somebody that really follows directions well.
So that would be. So you're going to need somebody who's really good at the game because nobody on the internet follows directions well.
No, we don't at all.
Yeah.
Me and BSV have killed each other numbers of times.
Sometimes on purpose, sometimes by accident. We don't keep track anymore.
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.
That's just such an appropriate sound clip. I don't think I'm going to need anything else in this show. Yeah. I really don't.
Well, yeah, some of the situations you're in, you just can't help but redirect a portal.
Say, hey, I wonder what happens when he hits the wall really fast.
Well, walls aren't that bad.
Walls aren't that bad. Walls aren't that. Oh, look, he made a splat mark.
it's the spikes and like the acid and all the other good stuff that you gotta worry about.
And lasers.
Oh yeah. Yeah. What? One guy with the holding on to the prism cube, directing the laser, trying to kill his buddy. That's not an uncommon occurrence.
Though I don't think we actually did that.
I tried a couple times.
You tried. Obviously, you weren't trying very well if he didn't notice you were trying to kill him. Ninja or really bad at it.
Yeah. But yeah, and throughout the cooperation, GLaDOS pretty much tries to pit you against each other.
Of course.
Yeah, it's great.
Now, I don't know about that. GLaDOS, I mean, throughout most of the first game, GLaDOS was actually trying to help you, albeit in a odd and sadistic sort of way. I mean, it wasn't, you know, this outright hostility. I guess they changed that since everybody knows she's the bad guy now.
Oh, she's pissed now.
Yep. So have you guys played around with the countdown timer?
No, I didn't even know there was a countdown timer.
You know the countdown timer we use for timing the switches? Oh,
yeah.
The F key.
Yeah. We've been using that quite a bit. Even when you're on Skype and stuff, it's often easier just to have it show up on the screen.
Yeah, and then you guys got the picture-in-picture where you can see each other's.
See through each
and,
other.
And it does have an integrated voice. We haven't used that. We've just been using Skype, but from what I understand, it works quite well.
It's probably the same voice module they use in all their other stuff, which, you know,
that's okay.
You know, that is something I really was never fond of, was hopping on Left 4 Dead or Team Fortress 2 and have somebody in the voice channel barking at you, especially when, you know, they sound like they're 9.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you get that a lot. At least with this game, you can pick and choose. You're not just paired up with random people for the most part.
Well, you know.
That would kind of be annoying. Yeah. You can only play this game with random people on the internet.
Oh, you mean like Left 4 Dead?
Or StarCraft.
Fucking StarCraft. Oh, God.
Sorry, StarCraft 2.
Oh, no, you can play with your friends as long as you give them all your Facebook information and a credit card and, you know, 14 forms of ID and, you know, all your email passwords.
Yeah.
We're trustworthy enough to do that.
Oh, yeah, and let them run an app on your cell phone so they can monitor your usage for marketing purposes only, because people enjoy getting marketing offers if you believe the spammers. So, anyways.
But actually, I also wanted to touch on Portal Prelude. I don't know if any of you guys have played that. It's an unofficial mod for the original Portal.
Oh, wow.
And it basically gives you a whole new set of levels and a whole new storyline, and it actually takes place just before GLaDOS is turned on. So your overseers are actually people. And it actually syncs right up with the whole Portal storyline, and it fits right into their world. In fact, I think they actually went and found out some of the mythos from Valve and used that. Because even some of the stuff in Portal 2 is syncing up with it.
Really?
So I highly recommend that people check that one out.
Now, I tried a couple of the unofficial Portal mods, especially the unofficial Portal 2s, the unofficial sequels, and some of that stuff seems like it's syncing up okay, but I didn't hear about this Portal Prelude. When did this come out?
I think it was quite a while ago. I actually just finished it here. I think it was yesterday, actually.
So can you get it? Well, how do you get it? Or?
I think you get it on Steam.
Is it just a free add-on? Or?
Yeah, it's free. I'll do a quick search here. But
BSV, wait till after the show to start downloading Portal Prelude so your call quality doesn't go to shit.
I was preloading Portal 2 last show, and it was fine.
Fair enough.
One thing I got to say about Portal Preload, though, it's fucking insane difficulty. It's just retarded.
Well, they always amp up the difficulty and stuff like that because the person making it wants to be a dick. Yeah. I mean, it is my personal belief that some of these people who make Flash games have a personal hatred of humanity and make their games that difficult just to punish people for playing them.
Well, I'd say it probably took me about 4 hours to finish the last level. yeah, it's actually just at portalprelude.com.
So, well, all right, let's go ahead and roll into the break. I've got a track here, Brain Damage by OG. It's on their album Old Shit, and we're going to roll right into that. So let me pull up the Skype call and mute it. So you guys are now muted. Ha-ha! I can say whatever I want, and you can't respond. And we're going to start this track.
Bye.
All right. We are back. Let me unmute the call here. Yep, and there's Heavy.
Yep.
Unmute the call. Handling noise. Yay!
Yep.
What was that song?
That was Brain Damage by OG. I've got a whole browser full of tabs from Link's lore sent me for music for the radio station. So as soon as I get around to getting all that pulled down, that's from one of the ones he sent me.
Okay.
It's on Jamendo. So, actually, we had go ahead.
I was going to say one real quick question to BSV and Swab. Have any of you created the infinite portal and then changed direction to use the other individual as a projectile and shoot them at a target?
Oh, yeah.
Terminal velocity?
You have to do that in several. Yeah. It works extremely well.
Awesome.
Although I got to say the levels are somewhat limited in places you can actually put portals. So you don't actually get a lot of opportunities to do that.
Was it the same team? Was it the same people making the puzzles this time as it was last time around?
I don't know.
Because it feels like, and I haven't played very far in the single player game, but it feels like they've got a much more, it feels like there's only really like a couple of solutions. It doesn't feel like the old game where there were lots of ways to get around some of these puzzles. So I'm wondering if it was the same people, because it seems like it's more, no, you will solve it this way. Maybe it's just early on.
Yeah, I'm thinking because it's early on. A lot of those early levels are really short and simple. I'm starting to notice that there's multiple solutions for some of the ones we're going to.
We're just breaking some of the solutions.
Generally, we do the most complicated way because we're just dumb and.
Well, at least you're honest about it.
Yeah. Swab, we're not dumb. We're just complicated, so we need complicated solutions.
Sure.
Yeah, that's it.
Go with it.
Whatever helps you to sleep at night.
It doesn't help me sleep. It really doesn't.
Nope, because you're playing Portal.
I just want you to put a live webcast of whatever Rube Goldberg security system you have set up in your home so that when they do finally go off, I can enjoy them.
Oh, don't worry. You'll see the flash on the horizon.
On the horizon?
Wow. We'll just look north and see this bright light. Be like, oh, so our security system went off again.
Yeah.
It's like, what's he doing with it? He's directing air traffic and... So.
Exactly. IPv6, anybody? Yes? No? I don't know. I'm just trying to keep the conversation going. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We'll sit on IPv6. I mean, I can talk with you about it.
But we should have more people involved in that one.
Yeah. Just go for it. We might hop in.
All right. Well, what do you want to talk about on a BS or a Heavy?
In particular, I want to talk about the potential for doing the kind of stuff we're doing right now, which is multicasting. We could go into the security, the actual inherent encryption of it, which is nice. I know they're trying to they patched it onto IPv4 with SSH, but I do like the fact that they're actually allocating a certain number of bits per packet for that, which is kind of nice too. So we could go into that if you wanted to do that.
Well, let's start off with the very, very basics of it. IPv6 expands on the addressing space by changing from bitmap over to hex for designations and moving to six, what would you call those, quadrants? Well, they're not quadrants. They're it's six address spaces, six sections.
Octets?
Yeah. I'm not actually sure what the correct terminology is. I mean, on IPv4, you call them dotted quads, but you say quads because there's four of them. I guess it'd be a dotted sextet, except they're colons, and I don't know. Anyways, so you've got two more spaces for numbers, and the amount of addresses this creates is insane.
So 128 bits worth of address, basically, since from 16, what was it, 16-bit up to 128-bit equivalent of address space. So it's a lot. It should keep us going for another 20 years until we start getting nano processors in everybody, and then we'll flood that So it's all a matter of
time. I disagree with you because I don't think we're going to deplete IPv6 very fast because I don't think we're ever going to get rid of IPv4. I think what's going to happen is because nobody has IPv4 compliant equipment right now. Your computer will do it, but your little Linksys router won't. Even the brand new ones right now are not IPv6 compliant. Now, sure, some of them you can get a firmware upgrade, but guess what else is not IPv6 compliant? Your cable modem or your DSL modem.
Well, in most cases, you're correct, but unless you've gotten a very recent upgrade. That's the only exception.
It's a major infrastructure overhaul. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see ISPs handling IPv6. And if you're dealing with server-level stuff, you might deal with it. But it's going to get wrapped and sent down to you sort of – I guess it would be direct address translation because there's going to be enough IPv6 addresses to map it one-to-one to the IPv4s that they hand out to your cable modem. But go ahead.
Quick question. Is it a software or a hardware issue where you're saying a lot of the old routers and stuff, or all routers can't handle it?
Well, it's both.
It's a hardware issue for sure.
Oh, it is hardware.
It is both. The software has to be written to handle it, but a lot of the older equipment, they're either not going to, or the device actually cannot handle the because they just don't have enough memory space in the devices. Because you got to think these things have the processors of cell phones. And by cell phones, I mean your old Nokia handset. I don't mean modern iPhones. Right. So, they actually don't have enough physical memory in the device to appropriately handle V6 addresses.
Right, and again, everything's transferred on the actual a separate layer as well, and it's not allowed to do packet breakup at the router level. So there's a lot. It's just the whole thing is written completely differently or handled differently in that particular.
Oh sure, they've tried to address a ton of the problems that we had with IPv4. Security, fragmentation, guaranteed delivery with IPv6. The problem is IPv6 has. I mean, yes, we're running out of IPv4 addresses. We're going to have to do something. But I honestly think you're going to see them start confiscating IPv4 addresses from people before they get the final push to IPv6 done.
That's, some of that's going to definitely happen for sure. One of the things I like is the fact that you can do multicasting. So essentially you can send a single packet to multiple different end locations, which is a really good thing for us that are doing broadcasting. It would allow us to essentially reduce our overhead and our bandwidth by quite a bit.
Multicast uses the same amount of bandwidth, but it handles the connections independently.
Okay.
Now, I know what you're talking about. What you're saying with a Skype call, you'd only have to have you'd send one stream of packets out, and it would go to everybody on the call, which is true, as opposed to what happens now, where everyone's stream of packets to Skype goes to whoever initiated the call, and then that gets reflected back out. So in that scenario, yes, you would see a bandwidth savings. But you don't always see bandwidth savings with multicast. So you've got to be careful about how you phrase that kind of stuff. In some applications, you will. Other applications, you won't. In most Skype calls, especially when it's one-on-one, it's going to be the exact same.
Right. And also from some of the stuff that I've been reading is you can actually have a subnets are going to be handled a bit differently too, which would be kind of nifty in that we can get out there and you can set your own
I think they're actually just saying half the address is subnet and half the address is just flat out declaring it as opposed to having a subnet mask like we do now. And, I guess if you don't want to have to learn your bit math. But, again, I don't think we're going to be dealing with it directly as home users. I think it's all going to get wrapped and we'll never see it just because the amount of hardware that's going to have to be replaced is going to be pretty off-putting to most people.
Okay.
And because they're going to do that, you're going to have the same scenario we have now where they don't want to upgrade the infrastructure, you know, like we were talking about earlier with net neutrality. They don't want to spend the money to buy the new equipment because it's expensive. And from a business standpoint, that's a legitimate reason not to spend it. But I think this rollout of IPv6 is going to be a mess years in the making and years in the cleanup. I don't think it's going to be just this quick and easy thing at all.
Oh, no. We're going to start it. We're going to know June this year. They're actually going to open or they're going to fire up a worldwide test of IPv6. So we'll see how well that works.
Well, it'll work fine in their test environment because they're going to make sure everyone has equipment to handle it. How do you deal with the generations of, you know, old gear and closets that people probably aren't even aware their packets flow through that doesn't deal with this stuff, and they probably don't even make the firmware upgrade for?
Well, I think at some point everything's going to go into your router anyway, and that's going to handle your old legacy IPv4 stuff and just translate it out.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I'm saying. I think IPv6 is going to be a backbone level scenario, and for the most part, we're not really going to be dealing with it. I'm not saying don't learn it. No, if you're a networking professional, do not misunderstand. You need to know what IPv6 is. But I think it's a whole lot of hype over what is ultimately going to be service level stuff. So I'm not. Now, one thing that is fun to do is when you break into a system, turn on IPv6 and tunnel through it, because then none of the firewalls and none of the IPS, ITS, or IDS systems see it. Because nothing – that's a fun conversation. No firewalls, no security systems are written for IPv6 in mind. So that's actually a really common trick. When you root somebody's box, turn on IPv6 and set up all your tunnels via IPv6 because you know, nothing sees it. It's built in. I mean, everything from XP on up has support for IPv6.
Yep, in every OS.
So, I think what's going to happen with it is we're going to be seeing more service headaches with it from a security standpoint, because most people are going to get wrapped back to IPv4 to go up to their ISP anyways. Most companies are going to be like, yeah, we'll just stay on IPv4. We only have 300 computers, you know, 1,000, 7,000, whatever computers. They don't have enough addresses to justify. I mean, if you can't get all of your network in a 10 dot, then maybe. But at that point, they're not listening to us, certainly. They've got, you know, their own stuff if you've got that kind of network. But I think you're going to see more security problems arise from IPv6 than it's going to fix.
To a certain degree, I think maybe it's going to allow us to have, and maybe this might be part of the reluctance, is it may eliminate some of the questions about net neutrality just because of the inherent encryption of because it inherently has IPsec. If you actually use the protocol and you write, you know, your software correctly, you can take advantage of that. And like I said, in packet encryption, so there's going to be some of that.
Well, sure, but I mean, you can do packet level encryption now, but the other, I guess I'm trying to figure out where you're going with this, because I honestly don't look at IPv6 the way most people do. Most people go, oh, yep, it's the next thing. Everybody's got to learn it. And I really think, because you're going to see so many people fighting it, especially with all the old legacy devices out there, that it's not going to be the standard for a very long time, even though the internet itself is running out of IPs. I think you're going to see practically militant level of, you know, reclamation of IPv4 address space. And you know, actually, here's a fun one. Just because I'm talking about reclamation of space, this brought this up. So we're just going to completely deep six that topic, heavy, and move on to this. We missed this on IHN, by the way, Swolf. Did anybody else see the FBI seized 3 poker domains?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually made it on the mainstream news pretty well. And essentially they claim that what they're doing is they're basically shotgunning these people. people's with everything. They're claiming fraud because what's happening is they were charging a lot of the credit cards under not gambling or the company name, but under I bought a car or I bought, you know, a bowling ball or something like that. And so they're claiming the fraud there. And it, essentially, they picked the biggest three. And I'm not remembering the names right now.
PokerStars is one of them. And the reason PokerStars sits out in my mind, PokerStars is not a U.S. company. It's hosted out of the Isle of Man.
Right.
They seized foreign domains.
Oh, they've been doing that for a while.
I know, but I'm trying to figure out how they can actually do that. Because I mean, they're doing it, but I mean
– the U.S. Basically owns the internet.
Well, yeah, but I mean we – ICANN, I thought, had been – I guess I'm not understanding –
well,
they're claiming you don't own your domain. That's the problem.
Right. And it's hard because, again, the laws don't really respect, you know, this level of technology yet. And so here's what we're running into is the United States is basically saying, well, what we can do is we can restrict your access to the United States. ICANN could technically say, well, it's good in the rest of the world, but then the U.S. would be like, well, but as soon as you translate into the U.S., you're going to be blocked. So,
right.
And since we have most of the infrastructure going, you know, basically most of the communication passed through us, there you have it.
Well, let's
well, and like, you know, I know that the U.S. has like some a lot of control over like the very base level of the internet, where like I don't know.
We've got
of
the primary
detail.
DNS servers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, that's pretty much like what DNS is: domain name server, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, so that basically kind of controls what web address is assigned to which IP, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, you so can still – when they seize a domain, you can still punch in the IP address or go in and put it in your host file or if you can find a rogue DNS server that still has it cached, you can get it that way.
My guess is even OpenDNS will give you the option if you're using that. So
no, because they're actually going up to the the service provider, the actual registrar of the domain, and pulling it there. That's where they're doing it. It's not – they're not going into ICANN and doing it or anything like that. No, ICANN does the addresses. Well, they're not going into the seven primaries. They're going to – like if you registered your domains from GoDaddy, they're going into GoDaddy with a warrant and saying, yeah, we're seizing these domains. Point them to our server over here.
Right. Yep,
but I mean, not you know, not even just restricted to those three. They've been seizing domains for about a year now.
Oh yeah, I remember one time they ended up seizing. It was something like 6,000 domains because company had some like kiddie porn or something stupid like that on one site that was hosted with this web host company.
Yeah, they got the Dynamic DNS hoster, and what Dynamic DNS is they run a custom server. And you run a little piece of code that constantly reports your IP address back to them, and they usually do that through a subdomain. That way they can update it very quickly. And so your address for – it's a way of putting an address on like your home computer, your home network. Because, you know, your ISP, that without having to pay for a static IP, I should say. So – because, you know, your address could change. So you run a little program, and it updates with the DynDNS is the one I use. And it was reports your IP back to them, and they point your subdomain. So it'd be like, you know, whatever name you give them, .dynedns.com, and then that way you can point it at, like, your home servers.
Oh, okay.
And they seized one of those. So they took out literally everyone who had registered with whatever that particular – because they have several. DynedNS, I know, has several. But they took out – it wasn't DynedNS. It was another company. But they took out one of their domains that had, like, several thousand – sites on it.
Yeah. And, you know, like a lot of people running companies and like their home businesses and stuff like that off of these websites.
Right. And then they get the message saying, oh, they were sharing kiddie porn. It's just like, wait, what?
So, like, not only are they losing revenue just from having downtime, but pretty much anybody who sees that message is not going to deal with them anymore.
Well, I guess it's technically in print, so libel.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's the freaking government doing libel, so it's like, you know, what's your recourse here?
Yeah, well, there isn't much except for that you can, you know, go through the court system and appeal, and if you get your appeal through, you're good. But
You get it stricken off the record, but, you know, it hurts the reputation, and good luck trying to sue them for damages.
Well, right. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, it's and I kind of agree with the general consensus is that it's because it's illegal, but there's still high demand for it. You're simply going to have people, you know, creating gambling of one type or another, regardless of what the laws are. And so the best thing they could do is legalize it and regulate it, and then you
All of these gambling laws don't make any sense. Like, you know, places where it's illegal to have casinos, you can still buy scratch and wins, or, you know, you can, there'll be VLTs, or you can go play the stock market, or, you know, like, there's, if you want to gamble, there's ways to gamble, and pretty much everywhere you go, there's legal ways of doing so. It's just,
and I think maybe that's part of it. Maybe these old brick and mortar stores are leaning on Uncle Sam to go out there and get rid of this competition. Because why would you go to a smoky, stinky, rundown casino, especially some of the smaller ones in smaller towns?
For the horse. Well, that's the only reason to go to places like that is you want to get laid, and you want to get laid by somebody easy, and preferably where you just have to give them a 20 as opposed to actually have to impress them.
Right, and that's it. But that, you know, the casinos are basically bleeding money, you know, to the point where they've actually had to cut down on their quality staff and just basically hire, you know, unskilled labor.
Wait,
to
what
fill
casinos
the position.
Have you been going to that they've had quality staff?
Well, let me put it this way. If you go to any of the places in Vegas, like the Bellagio, they used to have, let's just say that they were, they didn't remind you of the illegal immigrant problem every time you walked around to get a drink. You know, there actually used to be locals of Vegas that worked there. And customer service was a little bit better because they wanted to get you drunk off your ass so that you didn't actually try to think or count during the games or worry about, you know, blowing your mortgage payment. So, you know. Yeah, exactly. It's gotten worse. And I would say that that's probably it. They just lean on government saying, hey, look, this illegal stuff, you should probably take care of it, you know, because we pay you. Here's your payoff, you know, Mr. Senator.
We've had a lobbying problem for a while. You know, you want to have fun with the lobbying, pull up the GE taxes argument. I don't really want to get into it because that's politics, and I don't want to do politics because I will get angry. Not that I wasn't when we started the show, but, you know.
No, and that's what it comes down to is where's the money at? And if they're losing, you know, 10% or even 5% to this online gambling, you know, come on, think about it. You're playing casino poker at the same time you've got, you know, your latest movie up and running in the, you know, a second window. You don't really have to, you know, leave your house anymore. You get a bowl of popcorn and, you know, a bottle of Wild Turkey costs you, what, $8? So, I mean, you know.
So you should sit at home in your underwear, be fat in your chair, watching movies while playing poker. Actually, I know a guy who he would do this, in all seriousness. He had two computers. He had his netbook and his laptop, and he would sit there. You know, I've said before, I work at a school, so I watched him do this in the lobby. He'd sit there and play World of Warcraft on his notebook, and he'd have two online poker games up and going on his netbook. You know, I don't know what site he was using. I just saw he had two of them, and it was split side by side. And so he was literally saying, sitting there raiding in WoW and playing online poker at the same time. Now, I know there's people who run, like, you know, five or six avatars in WoW at a time or run their own raids, I guess, which is cool from a, you know, technology standpoint and insane from a social services standpoint. But
think of the cost in subscriptions. Jeez.
Oh my God. I don't even want to think about the amount of money Blizzard makes on subscriptions from World of Warcraft.
But I've actually seen the YouTube videos where these guys have got their five characters synced up on one keyboard and mouse, and they're just going there spamming, you know, with whatever, usually a mage character, and they just spam their spells or whatever.
Well, sure. When you do that kind of stuff, you macro out an I win button. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't see the point to it at all, though. Like, it's just like, what's the point of playing the game when you're at that point? I guess if you're selling stuff, but that's about it.
Well, that's basically where my attitude was, is why play the game, so I didn't.
Well, I mean, you know, I've known some people who do multi-boxing, and they say that that adds to the challenge of the game, that they've played it to the point now that it's like the regular game isn't a challenge anymore, so they have to run two or three people at once.
Right, so, but I bet you those people aren't macroing up the I win button.
Yeah.
No, those are the people who are breaking out the dowel and the nails. Did anybody else see that on World on the where did I see it? I saw it on Reddit, and I think I saw it on Hackaday, where they had made a mechanical device. It was mostly dowel and nails and a spring to control like five mice at once, and then had bolted up things across multiple keyboards. So they were multi-boxing with that to software, so they weren't violating the EULA. It was this giant mechanical thing where they had worked out the controls of just physically controlling five mice and five keyboards at the same time. Nobody else saw that?
No.
Oh, it was cool. Like this massive redneck hack. It was great.
I just like to think of the idea, you know, somebody's multi-boxing and then all of a sudden one of the avatars gets out of sync or two of them get out of sync. It's like, oh, crap!
Especially with that setup. What do you got? And you have to, like, unplug and plug in a different keyboard and mouse. What were you trying to say, BSV?
I just see a massive contraption of cables and dowels and...
Anybody else immediately picture Tom Green and whatever the hell movie that was where he had all the sausage in the room and he was working with his fingers? No? Yeah. Okay, I'm insane. So, anyways, we got a late start, so I think we're going to wrap. Well, it's almost time anyways. So we're going to wrap up there, and I'm just going to mute this call right quick. And so if you guys were going to say anything, haha, this has been the Nameless Review Show. I mean, Pure Decking. So, yeah.
Right, I'm making chips on my shirt.